This is the Austin Road Show podcast. The Road's Rewind.
Okay, unless you've been living under a rock over the course of the last several months, you have probably heard about the intense conflicts going on at the Augusta Fire Department between the rank-and-file members, some rank-and-file members, and Chief Chris James, who has been not only serving as the fire chief in Augusta-Richmond County for some time, but also he has been the EMA director. That's a personal bone of contention that I've had with the mayors going back to Deke Copenhaver. They have the ability to hire a dedicated EMA director, and they need to do it. Augusta is one of the most complicated and complex hazardous material manufacturing and processing sites anywhere in the southeastern United States. We've got everything from highly volatile chemicals to two nuclear reactors in our backyard. And we had Pam Tucker for many, many, many years, who was noted as one of the best minds in the southeastern United States, if not on the eastern seaboard, when it comes to all this. And then to assign that duty to a part-timer whose expertise is firefighting is an absolute insult and should be corrected. Having said that, that bears absolutely no connection to the complaints that the Firefighters Union apparently has against Chief James. And joining us again is Captain Michael Tomaszewski, who, by the way, I want to make sure everybody understands, is appearing on his own time. He does not represent the fire department. He does represent his fellow union members, though. And again, he's part of the International Association of Firefighters Local 3357. How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing well, sir. Thank you very much for having me on the program.
Did I accurately sum up what's going on here as far as at least what his titles are at Chief James?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, you did.
So how long have you been on the department, Michael?
So I've been on the department just under 16 years.
So you go back to the days of who was the chief when you took over?
The chief then was Al Gillespie.
Al Gillespie. So we'd already lost Chief Few at that point.
Yes, sir, that is correct.
He had left to go be fire chief in D.C., if I'm not mistaken. And then Chief Gillespie came in for a few years, and then Chris James came in immediately following him.
Yes, sir. I started September 2004. Chief James started as fire chief at some point in 2012. Don't remember the precise month.
Where are you from? Where do you come from?
I'm actually from Southern California originally. That's where I went to college, grew up until the age of 23. Moved out here with my now wife. And
you okay?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
So we...
Is it a military thing, or a lot of people come to Augusta for military?
No, sir, not military. My wife is from Chattanooga, and we wanted to be closer to her family.
Okay.
Had friends in residency at what is now called AU at the time, and
gotcha.
Chose this to be the place where we grew a family.
So, but you had a background in firefighting before you came to Augusta?
Yes, sir, absolutely. And worked for the federal government, worked for a couple of local governments out there.
Okay. And, you know, to put everybody a little more familiar, to make everybody a little bit more familiar with the rank operates, when you join the fire department as a brand new employee, what rank are you? Fireman, recruit, what do they call it?
They call it a recruit, and then you have approximately 6 months of training. You go into a station or what they call a company as a firefighter. At that point in time, there was no Firefighter 1, Firefighter 2 like there is today, so you were just a firefighter.
And how far up – the reason I'm asking you this is how far up the totem pole are you in this grand scheme of things? Between the recruit and the chief, how many levels are there?
So essentially you start at recruit, then you go to Firefighter 1, then you can progress to Firefighter 2. After that comes sergeant, then lieutenant, then captain, and then there's several ranks of chief, from chief to shift commander or assistant chief or deputy chief.
Is that like the old battalion chief title?
So we do have battalion chiefs on the department who report to a single shift commander.
Gotcha. The reason I'm mentioning this is because I want everybody to understand you didn't just fall off the turnip truck. You've been around for a while.
Yes, sir.
And again, you're pretty high far up the the totem pole when it comes to leadership.
Yes, sir.
How many firefighters in Augusta Richmond County in your department?
Right now, the total count, I don't like to spit out numbers without the facts in front of me. Unfortunately, I didn't print off the sheet. I want to say our total staffing right now, including administration, is somewhere in the high 200s, low 300s.
That's everybody?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, and the reason I ask that is because are other office staff members, et cetera, are they allowed to join the union?
So in order to join the union or association, you have to be a firefighter, a certified firefighter. So if the personnel in administration are certified firefighters, and yes, they are eligible. Some of the members of fire administration are in the union. Some are not. But eligibility is determined by certification.
What percentage of eligible firefighters are in your union?
Of suppression staff right now, somewhere around 3/4 of administrative staff that are available to be members, about half.
So you've got a solid majority of the firefighters in your union?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Are they united behind you in your calls to remove Chief James?
So as union president, my position is essentially to represent their concerns, represent their desires, so I don't take actions without the majority of those people pushing for it. I can tell you in all seriousness, I have had zero people tell me that they did not want this done, and I've had an overwhelming number before, after, during applaud this being done. They've been asking for it for a very long time. This entire thing was supposed to have started and scheduled to have started all the way back in January of this year. Unfortunately, I had a medical issue that couldn't be postponed, had to have several surgeries, then coronavirus, everything just kind of kept getting delayed.
Are you on active duty right now, or are you on medical leave?
I am not on medical leave. I am currently on active duty.
So, okay, all right. You're just not working today. All right. So, again, need to make sure that everybody understands that this is a union grievance that Michael's talking about today, Captain Thomas Shevsky. But he does represent, again, his union, a vast majority of the working men and women firefighters, not secretaries and that type of thing, of the department.
Yes, sir.
Any idea off the top of your head what the number would be percentage-wise of those who are employed with the department who do not want to belong to your union? 10%, 20%?
I don't. It's not like we take a head count of those that say that they specifically want to.
But it's a very insignificant number compared to those who are involved in it.
Yes, sir.
Okay, right. In studio is Captain Michael Tomaszewski with the Augusta Firefighters Association Union, Local 3357. He's speaking or appearing on behalf of his organization, not on behalf of the fire department. Did need to continue to make that about as clear as we can. He and his group have been calling for the removal / retirement of Chief Chris James. And in a nutshell, Michael, if you don't mind, just why do you think Chief James needs to go?
So that's a very good, very fair question. We started, well, I should really take us back to the beginning when the association actually worked to get the fire chief, who was a longtime association member, into the position of fire chief. And at that point, we succeeded, I guess you could say, and Chris James became the fire chief, and there were some things accomplished. There were some, I think, hard feelings developed between the leadership of the association and the fire chief at that point. Rolling forward some years, essentially, I'm the kind of guy that you can tell me what you want to tell me about somebody. I want to check it out for myself. Just because somebody had a negative experience with somebody doesn't really roll over into how I feel about that person or feel about that relationship. So I came onto the association board, I believe it was 2013, and was treasurer for 5 years, then ended up becoming president beginning of 2019. And I had been watching many things going on, watching some of the shortfalls, and essentially decided, you know what, it is time to work with the chief, to meet with the chief, to try and build some working relationship to move this department forward. I was excited about the opportunity. We met with the administrator in the beginning of 2019, and we essentially de-escalated tensions from the end of 2018. And I might add that I agreed with all of those tensions. But the one thing that the fire chief then kept reiterating or stating is that he didn't know. He had no idea. And
about
to be
what?
Fair, he didn't know about the maintenance concerns. He didn't know about the safety concerns. He didn't know about the issues with safety and messages being relayed throughout the chain of command.
Let me ask you, how in the world could he not know? I mean, I've got a general manager here, and I've got three or four people that are actually between us in a professional sense. We've got a program director. We've got an operations manager. But I've known him for 25 years, and I can say, Kent, man, light bulb in here is burned out. What the hell? Can you help us out? And I mean, literally, I can do that. This is a guy, Chris James, you came up, I'm sure that you stood next to him fighting fires through the years. I'm sure that you have both left a scene full of smoke and soot and God knows what else. At what point do you lose the ability to say, hey, chief, we got a problem here?
That is a good and fair question. I would say that examining what the fire chief has put together, he specifically doesn't want people to have that opportunity. There is a very sturdy rank structure, and even though people in administration will just jump what they call that chain of command, they don't want to see any of that going up to the top. So there's a lot of conversations that I guess from me looking don't happen. Let's say that, you know, you and I, Austin, we both work at this radio station, and we end up having some sort of conflict, and the station manager, let's say, reports that, well, I had no idea. If I would have known, I would have taken care of this situation. Well, I definitely see that it's, you know, the supervisor, the manager, the director's job to have an idea what the people under them are doing. If you tell me that you have no idea, I'm going to take that at least once as you had no idea. And so what I ended up working out with the city administrator and with the fire chief, and you have those recordings of those meetings, essentially to begin meeting monthly to bring the grievances of the association forward to Chief James to make sure that he's aware, and to work together to build progress, to build something more positive going into the future, and to see that these things are taken care of. And so we held these monthly meetings, held 10 of them scheduled. There's agendas, there's notes. These meetings lasted anywhere from 2 hours to 6 hours. They were not short. They were not quick. Some of the issues we went over and over and over and over. And unfortunately, we started getting information back from the fire chief in these meetings that wasn't coinciding with what we're seeing on the ground, seeing on the street.
Would the fire chief been welcome to attend those meetings?
The fire chief was at every single one of those meetings.
Then how, after meeting number one, could he say that he didn't know about these things, particularly when you keep bringing the same issues back up?
Well, these meetings took place after the meeting with the administrator, where he said that he didn't know about these problems, and that if he had known, he would have fixed them.
Is Chief James a liar?
Yes, sir.
He is a liar.
I don't take that word lightly in any sense, shape, or form.
Well, you didn't let me finish the question, but you answered it. That's no problem. But I was going to say, is he a liar, or is he incompetent, or a combination of the two?
I think that there's definitely some things that point very strongly to incompetence. Unfortunately, the man lies. He lies very regularly. He's quite good at it. He's incredibly deceptive. If you watch his interviews, even on the television, if you study truth detection, you'll find that there's something, and you folks listening can Google this, called convincing statements. And so essentially what you'll find when you start reading about convincing statements, read about convincing statements, and then I challenge you to go back and watch the fire chief's
interviews.
Well, I
watch politicians for a living, so I'm familiar with what you're talking about. But again, at some point you have to wonder, okay, this has been a problem. Chief James has had complaints about him for years. Who's covering for him?
Well, that is kind of a complex organism. I'd definitely say at this point that the Mayor Hardy Davis is covering for him. Sammy Sias, one of the commissioners, is covering for him. Bill Fenoy covers for him. And there's other people that, I'm not going to try and dump out the whole laundry list of names right at this moment. But what I'd say is essentially we are going to achieve this change. And we are going to take the steps necessary to achieve this change, and we're not going to stop. We're not going to back down. This isn't going to go away.
How old is Chief James?
Chief James, I believe, is 53. Don't quote
really?
Me on it.
Really? I'm older than that.
He's close to retirement.
He doesn't have his time in for retirement yet, I guess.
There were offers made to him several times, even from within his own group, to leave, to retire. He'd be given a full retirement going all the way back to pre-December. He had a meeting at a Waffle House in North Augusta with one of his own friends, one of his own advisors, telling him that it was time to go. He needed to go. He'd be given the time by the commission to leave. He refuses to leave.
It takes six votes and only six votes to fire him. Are there not six people on the Board of Commissioners right now willing to do that?
Well, the mayor pulled a fast one when I was supposed to go into legal session, which would have kept.
You're not allowed to go into legal session.
According to him.
He's wrong if he tells you that you're allowed to go into legal session. You're not. Okay. The only people that are allowed to go into legal session are either, well, let me back up. If you're giving evidence, you shouldn't be allowed to go. Now, there are some issues about employees when it comes to directives that they are giving them. For instance, if there were, a gas leak somewhere and you would panic the community if you told them where it was, you can perhaps in secret order. I don't think they can go into session like that. The mayor can go into a meeting with an attorney and you, but they can't have a majority of the commission, I don't think, have a third party in. And by the way, this is one of the many problems that we have with not having a full press contingent present at all times. The sunshine laws are very specific about when you can shut a meeting down. But I'm a little curious, again, right this minute, you say the mayor pulled a fast one. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. What did he say was supposed to happen?
So I presented information to Commissioner Garrett, who then sent it on to the law department. It was placed on the legal agenda under personnel. I provided the names of the personnel that would be covered by the material. That's Fire Chief Chris James, Deputy Chief Shaw Williams, Captain Harmon Brown, and Jody Smitherman, who was with the law department and the fire department's lawyer. So I'm told that essentially what happened is that the mayor said that it was inappropriate for me as the president of the association to present. So then essentially it was said, look, the guy will come in here as a regular employee. And so the mayor said that essentially I needed to go to the personnel review board, I think is what he said. Now, mind you, the meeting.
And I understand, going through the proper channels. But God forbid you had a department head somewhere and the chief is a department head. You had a department head that was doing something dangerous or threatening lives and safety. And technically speaking, this does threaten life and safety. He's nodding, ladies and gentlemen. It's radio. You have to say yes.
Yes, sir.
There's no reason for a delay. That information needs to be delivered immediately.
Absolutely.
And you can do that as an employee, but you can't do it to a full body of the Augusta City Commission. That has to be heard in an open meeting. I wonder where the mayor is getting that from. Again, his Tukey attorney may be giving him some bad advice.
I don't know what advice is delivered in private. I have the emails, of course. I was sitting there ready to present on Zoom, had the screen up, ready to go. I believe you've had a chance to view the presentation that would have been.
I've seen some of it. Our friend Captain Michael Tomaszewski with the Augusta Richmond County Fire Department is in with us this afternoon, and he is about to tell you why he believes and the union believes. Chief Chris James, the longtime fire chief in Augusta. How many? Any idea off the top of your head how many years he's been serving in that capacity now?
Since 2012, so I believe it would be around 8 years.
8 years, okay. Commissioner Sean Franham and Commissioner Mary Davis have all been told about this ad infinitum. And also the old guy, John, what's his name? Number 10.
Commissioner John Clark.
John Clark, thank you. I kind of put him out of my mind. So all of these guys have been knowing about this for quite some time. And unfortunately, they're just not in a political position to do anything much about it. Is that right?
I wouldn't say that all of them have known sort of the fullness.
I mean, within the last 90 days. I'm not talking about going back much more than that.
They definitely have been aware of some of the information. I was trying to bring the information forward, and frankly, I wanted to have these discussions, bring up information in a private legal environment, whether or not that's appropriate, allowed,
Well, with a minority of commissioners, as long as you have a quorum present, you can do that. But you can meet one-on-one with all of them whenever you wanted to, or in groups of two.
Absolutely.
And three. And again, I'm not trying to be facetious in suggesting this, but I am going to just make the observation. Sounds like the commissioners that you've noted that have Chief James back and the mayor are black. Sounds like the commissioners that have the information on the chief and may want him gone are white. Is this a racial issue?
It's not a racial issue for me. It's not a racial issue for the association. I can't speak to what other individuals harbor in their minds or souls.
The commissioners on the Augusta City Commission and the mayor are covering for Chief James because he's black and they want a black chief.
I would pray that at this day and age we would be able to see people as human. And see directors as doing their job or not doing their job.
But you have to understand, when Chief James went in as chief 8 years ago, most everyone thought that we were either – that we had a Richmond County sheriff that was white or we were going to have one eventually. And the rule, the unspoken agreement among the power brokers in the area, well, if you're going to have a white sheriff, you need to have a black fire chief. I mean, that's just the way that it was. I mean, people can deny it. I've lived in this town my entire life. That's the way those people think down there at the Marble Palace. It was that way. It's that way with the mayor versus the Board of Education superintendent as well. By the way, since all these positions have naturally migrated into the black community as far as the representation goes, things like that haven't really played out. The school board still wants a black school superintendent, no matter what.
You know, it's unfortunate. I see more racial tension and divisiveness in the higher areas, the elected officials, the appointed officials, than I do in the rank and file. I mean, we're there to do a job. We're there to protect, serve. And, you know, I'm not going to get into racial games because
– Let me share with you a note. I'm not going to reveal who sent this to me because of the confidentiality, but it's somebody who's in a position to know, and he's a black man. Michael has quite a bit of knowledge, and he took a great deal of time to gather the things that he has for the people there. As it relates to him, I do not believe in my heart of hearts he is a racist, or that he has a racist bone in his body. I feel that he is doing what he truly feels is best in his heart for that agency. He's a good guy in my eyes, and I have always known him to be helpful when needed. And again, that's a black gentleman that I know very well, who has been in a position to understand and appreciate what you do. So, I mean, you're being vouched for by members, and he's not the only one. You're being vouched for by certain members of the black community. I'm just wondering if the folks that continue to paint this, because your attackers have said that it's racism. Fanoy has said that it's racism.
Well, Mr. Fanoy, you are more than welcome to your own line of commentary. It's very interesting to me, though, that your very own fire chief was a member of this organization from long before he became fire chief. And essentially the only reason why he's not still a member of the association that you disregard as being quote-unquote racist is because the bylaws don't allow the chief to be a member of the association. So, you know, I'm not going to play the game of racist. I'm not going to get involved in something of anything being color. We have a department director. We have a fire chief that is not doing his job. He's not doing it to an acceptable level. He's putting not only the personnel at risk, he's putting their families at risk. He's putting the citizens at risk. It's unacceptable.
I did not realize, and again, it's kind of interesting. This did not make the did you see a news story about Dr. Abel leaving as medical director? Anywhere? Huh? Pardon me? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, sir. I did not see any news story.
How in the world does that happen?
It's even interesting within the department. I get asked pretty much every single day, is Dr. Abel still the medical director? And I know the answer to be no. I don't remember seeing any kind of announcement throughout the department. It's definitely interesting.
Hmm. All right. 706-863-5800 is that. Well, I don't know why I'm giving the number out because I'm not necessarily going to the phones right now. If you've got a question or a comment for Michael, feel free to send it to me. I'm really anxious again to kind of get into the nuts and bolts of exactly the case they have against Chief James and also why, with such overwhelming numbers against him, he doesn't read the handwriting on the wall and just go ahead and leave. I mean, his pay wouldn't be that different. Retired, well, maybe it would be. I don't know. I haven't looked into the most recent retirement program. I can tell you that old program that the old firefighters had, holy crap, that thing was awesome.
Yeah.
But most of those people ended up retiring making more than they ever made as firefighters.
So the current retirement program is 2% per year of service, and you get to carry your medical benefits with you. Then for firefighters, firefighters are eligible in the state of Georgia to join the state pension as well. So the retirement is indeed solid.
Okay. All right. Let's hit another item on the list. What would you say, again, you know, so far we've hit a lack of qualified personnel filling the positions. And how do you specifically put that on Chris James? In other words, he doesn't necessarily control the pay. Is the pay discrepancy that much between Augusta Fire Department and Columbia County, for instance, or McDuffie County or wherever else? Where are these people going?
Well, they're
aside going from to, retirement, which is obvious,
they're going to a multitude of places. And one of the things that Chris James has failed to do, because essentially I'd say he doesn't care, is conduct any sort of exit interviews. And he can play this game and push it onto HR that they're supposed to do it. But when you're losing people at the rate that he's been losing people as a department director, as a fire chief, at the very least, you have a responsibility to figure out why. And if you don't want to take what we tell you as to the reasons why from the personnel, then, you should be talking to these folks and be able to provide a reason. So after saying this publicly, he goes on the television and makes a claim that there's two other people that left for the money. Unfortunately, he's lied again. I spoke to both of those personnel, and in fact, I didn't reach out to them. They reached out to me. They were furious that he's going on the television and saying that these persons left because of money and that they had an exit interview. They were not given any exit interview, and one of those people has tried to get on the air, get on the television. Hopefully, we'll be doing some upcoming interviews, but, you know, all you can point to is two things that, you know, you're just going to say verbally happened. So out of 135 people that have separated from the department, the most he can do is point to two things that he lies about as having been exit interviews. It's essentially the same thing that I've been getting over the last year throughout the 10 meetings. And when it comes to the staffing, when you take a look at our agendas and when you, the person listening, is able to, by the way, we're going to be releasing what was given over to the media at the end of the day. And so when you listen to these things for yourself, when you take a look at these documents for yourself, what you'll find is that we brought this up to the fire chief numerous times. We offered any and all assistance. to help with the staffing, help with bringing qualified personnel in. And we were told every time, no, thank you. We don't want any help. Offered to go before the commission and assist in an emergency hiring. Chief James didn't want it. So, you know, essentially the staffing position that we're in, he's got to, in the words of what he tells his chief officers all the time, you got to own it. And what I've watched is the man never wants to own anything that he builds.
Tony in Augusta, you are on the air with the captain. Hold on a second. I'm going to have to hit a button so he can hear you, but we'll make sure that he can. You're on the air with us, Tony. Go right ahead.
Thanks for taking my call, Austin. Captain Mike, I appreciate you for, first of all, for your service and for coming on and bringing some of this stuff out to light.
Absolutely. More than welcome.
I have a little bit of experience with Chief James. Unfortunately, one of my relatives was a firefighter at 9/11, and he lost his life there. And I've had some dealings with Chief James, and I got to give you a high five, buddy. You're exactly right as far as being not entirely honest, backhanded, all different kinds of things I could say. I don't really want to say. But anyhow, I've met all the fire chiefs since 2000 in this area, all great professional guys, and a bunch of them have been ran off around here for next to nothing or for a lot less. You know, a fire chief is supposed to be a professional, well-trained individual running a professional, well-trained staff. Obviously, we don't have that. And somebody, I'm with you, is you got Mr. Fenoy down there and definitely Mayor Hardy Davis. I've been down in front of the county commissioners. Did presentations, gave them some information, and it was like deaf ears. Everybody was fumbling, hiding behind their computer screens. Mayor Davis got up, had to go have a sidebar with Mr. Fenoy. Felt like I wasn't even getting paid attention to.
That's unfortunate indeed, and that's definitely what I've seen and what I've experienced. It's guard the chief under all circumstances, no matter what. And, you know, as a elected official, their responsibility is to the citizens, and their responsibility is to that position. It's not to any individual, myself, or the fire chief. It's to performing those tasks that those citizens put you there to perform. So, you know, this game of block the chief under all circumstances, it's got to stop.
Oh, man, I agree 100%. And I don't really even consider him, unfortunately, our fire chief anymore. He's not a fire chief. He's a politician. And I said that at the last commission meeting that I gave a presentation to. And I looked Chief James right in the face and told him right then, you're not a fire chief. You're a politician. You've moved over. You and Mr. Davis and a couple others, you know, you think you got a stranglehold. And sooner or later, someone unfortunately, it seems like, is going to have to get hurt.
All right. Thank you very much, Tony, for the call. Before we get to Moses real quick, I wanted to ask you about this specifically. I alluded to it before. The attorney for the fire department, obviously there's been some scandal that's been revealed over the course of the last couple of days in the Augusta Chronicle, where it appears that either her husband was requesting access to bids on projects that to benefit the fire department or something. I don't know what exactly. But I've said it before, and I'll say it again, and I want it emphatically emphasized. Any young attorney under the age of 70 that works for a municipal government rather than stays in private practice for themselves, something is wrong with them. They cannot make near the money. They're either lazy, stupid, corrupt, or some combination of the three. It is amazing. If there's an elderly attorney that wants to take it easy and advise somebody part-time going to work for the city, that makes perfect sense. You got maybe a stay-at-home mom or somebody that wants to do that. Okay, maybe. Any attorney who has law school loans to pay back and who has the opportunity to knock down 300 to 500 grand a year simply by answering the phone that goes to work making 100 grand a year for the city of Augusta, something's wrong with them.
You're definitely not the only person I've heard say that before.
I've been saying it for 20 years, but that's okay.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's nuts. The best attorneys are the ones that handle the city's business part-time and then have law practices where they make their real money, and they come in and help out along the way. Bob Daniel did it. Jim Wall did it. Doug Batchelor did it in Columbia County. Lots of people, many attorneys through the years. You show me a staff attorney, something's wrong with them. Always been. What was your opinion of the lady attorney that just left?
You know, there's doing your diligence by the city, doing your diligence by the department. I have seen a level of, I mean, in my terms, it would be kind of viciousness that extends beyond doing your duty or your diligence. And, you know, consistently giving people the runaround. That runaround is indeed what I experienced. Not only has our have our lawyers experienced in dealing with Ms. Smitherman in you know, those lawsuits that I talked about with overtime, but most definitely the runaround is what I got, taking it into a area that I believe could create some legal complications with trying not to render information that Georgia Open Records says.
She tried to bury information. Is what
absolutely.
She tried to
bury, yeah. That's definitely what it appears.
Okay. Moses Todd, standing by the line, too. How you doing, Moses?
Hey, Austin and Captain Mike. How y'all doing today?
Good. Thank you. Go ahead.
Doing well, sir.
Yeah. I'd like to make a couple observations, at least one. I think if the fire department got out of the first responder / ambulance business, then they could fight, do fire service and fight fires. That's observation. And leave it up to the private sector professionals to run the ambulance service. And that certainly should help with staffing. It should help with the wear and tear of men that have to jump out and go to medical emergencies versus fire emergencies.
That's definitely right, sir. And, you know, that would lighten the daily load by 12 and at least temporarily provide some sort of healing for the current staffing issues. It's not the altogether fix, but it would decrease demand by 12 every single day, or excuse me, 6 every single day and 12 overall.
And my next observation is that I believe the professional firefighters in the PBA is endorsed the mayor and at least 70% of that commission down there. That's with an endorsement and with financial contributions to their campaign. So
repeat the question one more time. I didn't catch what the actual question was.
I believe that it was observation that the Professional Firefighters Union Association and the PBA has endorsed the mayor and 70% of the commissioners that's down there now presently serving.
100% correct, and we stood there, held a press conference. We were on television and gave those endorsements, and those individuals chose to accept that endorsement because, you know, just because I want to endorse somebody or we want to endorse somebody doesn't mean that they want to accept, so we definitely ask. We held those meetings, asked those tough questions. We gave those endorsements, gave them publicly. They were accepted at that point in time. Only to have some of these individuals try and pretend like we don't exist.
So saying that, I don't think that we can, use for an always argument that, the organization is racist. I don't believe that. I worked in an organization when I was on the Augusta Commission and the Richmond County Board of Commissioners. I believe that you should get a fair pay for a fair day's work, and I've always supported giving you your money for fair labor.
I appreciate it, Moses. Your phone's fading out a little bit there. I do want to reiterate, and this is interesting, you guys did endorse the mayor 2 years ago when he ran.
Yes, sir, we did.
Okay, all right. Well, I mean, that's – I don't know how you can be racist if you – and you had a white guy running against him that you could have endorsed.
We certainly could have.
Play
those games.
Absolutely. Good for you. Real quick, I got a text message a minute ago. Chief James should be allowed on the show to defend himself. Most definitely. He is welcome anytime. We would love to have Chief James. There would never be a time when I denied him access. Open door policy for all elected officials in this area or high appointed bureaucrats that run departments. They are more than welcome anytime they want to come. Hip, hip, hooray, whoop-de-doo. Doors wide open all the time. The Captain Michael Tomaszewski, who's the president of the Augusta Firefighters Association, International Association of Firefighters, Local 3357. He and his group have been calling for the removal of Chief Chris James for the last several months, and they have really, really turned up the heat recently. They're releasing a number of press statements and concerning pieces of evidence that show that there's more than one reason that they believe Chief James needs to go. Let's say Ron in Augusta is next up. Ron, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, I was just listening, and I'm wondering, is this in any way a personal attack? It's my understanding that Captain Tomaszewski, his sister, did not get hired on the fire department, and he was angry. Also, he applied for a job that he didn't get, and all this is retaliation. Is there any truth to that?
Absolutely not. And I would say, Mr. Ron, you clearly don't know me, if you would even think that's possible. I was brought up to take playing fair incredibly seriously, and my duty to properly represent is not allowed by any means in my mind to connect to anything like that. You are indeed correct. I have a sister that wanted to be on the fire department, didn't qualify to be on the fire department, and you know, there's testing rules there. And, you know, if you qualify, you qualify. If you don't, you don't. To me, this is not personal, and I won't play.
If she didn't qualify, she didn't qualify. Is that what
exactly,
you're saying?
Precisely.
Right? Okay. Well, why did you file a grievance?
My sister.
Did you file a grievance?
No, sir.
Did she file a grievance?
No, sir.
Okay.
Did you file a grievance when you applied for the other job and didn't get it?
I have indeed filed a grievance. And those were, you know, meetings that were had between the fire chief and EEO. I pointed out some compromising things at that point in time and some things that, you know, weren't handled appropriately. The way that I am, I gather information, I present information to the appropriate audience, and I move on.
Did they file on your behalf, or did they rule against you?
Did they file on your behalf, or did they rule against you?
Well, the first attorney that worked for the city that took a look at it did not find in my favor, quote unquote. I'm not going to go into, you know, the extent of all of that information. I don't think that it's appropriate to draw all of that out.
You're bringing out all his so-called flaws, so it's not fair to bring out yours. But let me ask you this. If it's not personal, when he attempted to leave a few years ago, why did y'all write the letter and try to ruin the man personally? He was leaving.
You know, I warned commissioners at that point in time. And I
Hold on, Ron. Go ahead.
I warned commissioners at several points, and especially warned Chief James, and you will be able to hear this for yourself eventually when you download this information when it comes out later this evening. But that's the last time that anybody's going to make that absolutely absurd and ridiculous statement. The Augusta Firefighters Association made absolutely no contact with Rock Hill, had absolutely zero zilch nada to do with the man not getting his job. And he knows that. The commissioners know that. They sent an envoy of individuals up there to try and prove that we had done something. And you know what they had to tell those folks at that point in time? What are you talking about? This had nothing to do with anything. We don't even know who those people are. There's very few people that actually write letters. There's very few people that actually make phone calls like that. And there was absolutely nothing. And what you will see is that I am able to provide documentation for the claims that I make, whereas the fire chief, he's not going to be able to provide you with anything. So I would very much hope that you will go out, you will investigate what I'm saying for yourself. You're not going to be able to find anything other than a couple of voice lines, convincing statements, like I mentioned earlier. But you're going to have zero documentation, and you're going to have zero documentation because we never did what was alleged. It was a brilliant scheme cooked up by some folks to try and divert the conversation away from the truth and the fact. The reason why he didn't get the job, essentially, the city administrator at the time was not authorized to have made an offer for the job. That was it. He wasn't authorized to have made an offer for the job. So when the commission found out that he had made this offer, which he wasn't authorized to make, it was rescinded. It had nothing to do with the fire chief. It had nothing to do with us. It was simply the job got rescinded because the administrator wasn't authorized to make this offer. And I challenge anyone listening out there, including Fire Chief Chris James.
The administrator was a friend of his who came from Augusta, wasn't he?
Yes, sir.
And did that guy get removed in the process as well?
I have no idea what happened to Shanahan.
That's right. It was one of Fred Russell's cohorts. That's right.
So the union didn't write a letter under the disguise of he
thank you,
that
sir, for those questions.
Wait a minute. Let's make clear something. Any letter that's written to a municipality is a publicly discoverable document. Do you have a copy of that letter, Ron?
No, I'm asking a question.
Well, what I'm telling you is that the city government that would have received that letter would be unable by law to destroy it or hide it. And we're not talking about Augusta where, you know, there's some allegation of corruption going on. You're talking about Rock Hill, South Carolina, who would be absolutely happy to give you anything and everything they had for the asking. And no one's ever presented that letter.
I'm asking a question. So the union didn't send a letter regarding
Ron, are you
under
still
the sky
out there?
Yeah, he's talking. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
You can't hear him. I'm sorry, Ed. We don't have earphones. Bottom line, he's saying, just for you to unequivocally state, that the union or the Firefighters Association did not send a letter asking you not to hire Chief James. Is that
no,
right?
No, sir. We never did such a thing. Never made a phone call. Right. Never sent any letter. Nothing.
Stephen in Graniteville says he is a retired battalion chief. How you doing, Stephen?
I'm doing fine, Austin. And let me say right off the bat, thank you for having Captain Tomaszewski on. He is a class act. I've been with this guy when he was came on the fire department. I worked with you a lot of years, and I even seen you move up to the rank of lieutenant before I retired. And there's no doubt nobody can question your integrity. And let me say this, whatever Ron was talking about your sister. Now, how many we worked together for many years. Is that not true?
Yes, sir, we did.
Michael? Okay. And, you know, I can't even recall you mentioning your sister applying for the fire department.
No, sir. What's even more interesting is that if you started interviewing suppression staff, a lot of what Mr. Ron was talking about, nobody would have a clue because I don't discuss those things. They're not appropriate. And so there's really only one or two, maybe three people, and, you know, one of those big ones would be the fire chief that even has any of that information. So it really makes me wonder, you know, who it is that's discussing those topics that even the city's policies don't allow to be discussed.
Exactly. And if you and I were working together every day, as we were, that never came out. And that's the truth.
Stephen, let me get something specific in here, since you obviously have a track record with the department. Do you go back to the old Augusta Fire Department days, or were you always Richmond County?
Richmond County. I think I started in about 75.
Oh, Lord. Okay. All right, so you remember old buddy? Yeah, you know all the old timers. So this information that's come out on Chief James and his handling of the department, do you agree with it or not?
Oh, absolutely. I have personally, several years ago, right after I retired, I put posts on Facebook about the staffing inadequacies and the staffing issues were going on prior to my retirement. I had to serve as staffing officer many times, and we would have no one to fill the vacancies, and we would have to not shut down stations, but shut down an apparatus like a pumper. And this has been going on for several years. This is not new. They apparently have rectified with mandatory overtime this problem, but it was a problem for many years, prior to me leaving. And after I left also, it was an issue from what I understand, which it's obvious. I got the privilege to get some staffing rosters, and it's typical in Augusta fashion. HR didn't cut my email service off until months after I retired, and I was getting stuff all the time.
All right. Stephen, thank you for the – I'm going to try and get a couple more calls in. Thank you for your input. We appreciate the historic perspective. Thank you, sir.
And let me say one more thing.
Sure.
I have been attacked also as being a racist online by parent admin, as you know, Austin. because he said I was jealous because I didn't get the chief's job. Amazing. I asked him to produce the facts that I actually interviewed for the chief's job, and he never produced it. So don't worry about it, Mr. Tomo. We know who you are. Austin, thank you. All right. Have a good day.
Thank you, Stephen. Appreciate it. Mark and Augusta, you're on the air with the Austin Road Show. Go ahead.
Yes. Oh, a lot of this information's been aired out through social media, and one of the biggest things that I've seen through the association's press conference was there was an issue with morale. I know a lot of businesses these days would like to say morale starts from the bottom.
Chief James issued a comment saying that the beatings would continue until morale improves. I'm joking.
Right.
That's a joke.
But specifically what was brought up that I've seen on social media pertaining to morale was firefighters being moved from their normal jobs that they're hired to do, that they're trained to do, and being put on ambulances, which the ambulances in Augusta have just came on recently in the last couple of years. So it seems like there's a lot of people that have been on the department from a long time that have never rode ambulances, and they're being shoved on ambulances. If what Chief Bell, Stephen Bell, was just saying previously about staffing issues going back 5-6 years, why did the city sign on to bring this other project if they didn't have the people to do it, and then rob Peter to pay Paul to do this and then mandate the people? So it seems
good question, Mark.
If you're pulling people from their job to go do another job that they were not hired to do, you're going to start getting some feedback. And that just comes from Business Management 101. That was the first day of my class in college, was, tell people why you're doing something and give them a good explanation and hire people to do a certain job and make sure they do that job and no other job.
All right, Mark, thank you for the call. I'm running out of time here. Real quick, what's the Reader's Digest version as to why the fire chief wants to get into the ambulance business? More power and more say?
More power, more influence. He had some personal strange grievance fight with Gold Cross, which then got twisted into, there is a audio recording that I'd be more than happy to put out there back a couple of years ago before the ambulances actually came in, where Commissioner Sammy Sias exchanges with myself and then President Charlie Coleman are silence on ambulances because it's going to bring in $30 million, which will cure the general budget's issues.
Trying to use it as a cash cow to make money for the county.
It even thinking that could produce shows a genuine and very serious lack of understanding of 911 EMS service and its potential to produce revenue. And part of the presentation that everybody's going to have the opportunity to take a look at shows that this ambulance service that the county is running now is losing money. So now we're not only paying Gold Cross for providing coverage of the zone, but we're also dipping into money that you good people have paid in fire taxes to provide fire protection that is now being lost to an ambulance business.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Let's see if we get one more in quickly. Drew, you're on the air with us. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Drew. I worked at the Augusta Fire Department for a little over 7 to 8 years. Tom knows me very well. With Sergeant Richardson there.
Yes, sir, and I believe you're one of the folks that was lied about having had a exit interview.
Correct. So I never actually had an official exit interview. I was actually... It was supposed to be another firefighter, another sergeant who was leaving at the same time. It was supposed to be his interview. The chief that was working that day called me to come up there at 4 p.m. for an interview. I get there. Chief James had no idea why I was even there. My 2 weeks had been put in for a week and a half or so at this point. Didn't even know that I put him in. I sat down with him, told him why I thought I was up there, and he asked me why I was leaving. And I straight up told him that I wasn't leaving because of money. I actually took an $8,000 pay cut to come to RecTech. And just to be away from that leadership. And I told him, I took my time off. I did 48-hour shifts so that I could have days off in order to go to classes, in order to become a lieutenant. And then he's telling me that now I'm going to have these guys who have been on for 1 or 2 years. And I'm not blaming them. I do not fault them at all, because if I was in their position, I would have done the same. Jump that rank to lieutenant, but I'm going to have to train them while they're in those seats and then do their job.
What was different about them? What was the difference between you and them?
They had paramedics. That was the only thing.
Gotcha. Okay. Listen, God bless you, Drew. Thank you for your honesty. Appreciate it very kindly, and thank you for your service to the city. Yes. Listen, appreciate the opportunity to visit with you, Captain, and you're going to be providing us some information that we can share on the Austin Roadshow page. Got 50,000 followers there. I'm sure they'd be very interested in hearing it.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to the Rhodes Rewind of the Austin Roadshow. Listen to Austin weekdays from 3 till 6 on Augusta's News Talk and Information Station, WGAC, at 95.1 FM, 101.9 FM, and AM 580. Stream it live on WGAC.com or on the WGAC mobile app. Thanks for listening to the Rhodes Rewind of the Austin Roadshow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.